This morning I would like to bring to you a two-part session, one in the Sunday school hour and one in the morning sermon, entitled, Where Do Spirits Dwell? A New Revelation. Now I was brought up with a Pentecostal evangelical fundamental idea that demons can oppress a Christian but not possess him. Although the Bible does not say this, this is an extremely widely held dogma in all evangelical circles, and most Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles, although the Bible doesn't say it at all. And I believed that for many, many, many years. It's true after the manner in which we meant it, but it was not, it's not biblically provable, and we limited the truth by this statement. Now, it was really a deduction made on logical grounds. The logic was not flawless, but it was made on logical grounds, that seemed logical at least. And these were the logical grounds it was based on. This was the thinking, and this is the thinking of most evangelicals, fundamentals, Pentecostals, charismatics on this subject, and many who don't fall in that field as well. Number one, it is thought that the Christian has a newborn spirit, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and therefore he's possessed by the Holy Spirit. And number two, that therefore he cannot also be possessed by evil spirits. But that is an assumption. The person has his own will. There is no proof that because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit possesses your spirit, that you cannot be possessed by evil spirits. That was just an assumption we made. Number three, the Holy Spirit will not dwell where an evil spirit dwells. That is purely an assumption. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in the world and the evil spirits are here. For years I have said that. I've parroted the same analogies that I was brought up with. A dove will not live in the same tank as a snake. That's true, because the snake will eat the dove, but the devil can't eat, demons can't eat the Holy Spirit. See, the analogies don't really prove a point. Analogy is really no good unless the point is good, and people are convinced on the point. We cannot prove the Holy Spirit will not dwell while evil spirits dwell. This world is full of evil spirits, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling here. More on this later. Number four, a demon-possessed man is not in possession of his own will, whereas a Christian is. Therefore, a Christian is not demon-possessed. Sounds logical, but it breaks down in logic. Now, first of all, a demon-possessed man is generally in possession of his own will. If you know much about demon-possessed people, unless they've gone totally insane, generally they are in possession of their own will, possession of their own will. There was a case, there's a woman who used to attend a service occasionally who was demon-possessed. My wife would go talk with her, and she was fine, talked about the Lord, loved the Lord. She wanted to know more about God and expressed a belief in Him and a love for Him. And yet this demon would take over and she'd go insane, and she would not know, and she'd become really horribly affected, and she would be rabid, and she would not even know what she did or said afterwards. This demon-possessed man I mentioned to you, Wes Tompkins, that came to the William Branham meetings, and began to hiss at William Branham and began to threaten to hit him and knock him down. And he was under, this man was demon possessed, and he was under a tremendous power of a Satan, and he was hissing like a snake and was coming against God and his servant. And the Lord knocked him on the floor, and it was under, by God's power, without a man even touching him that night. Yet I met that man later at my father's church. He came to visit a particular meeting where we had churches all in from other places. And that man, he sits through a service, and, you know, amen. He carries his Bible. He talks theology. But that spirit comes upon him. But it only occupies his mind and attention during certain times. Now, if this thing is true, that a demon-possessed man is not in possession of his own will, well, as a Christian is, therefore a Christian is not demon-possessed, it also means then, by the same logic, that the Holy Spirit does not possess a Christian. Because if a Christian is in possession of his own will, therefore he's not demon-possessed, then he's also not Holy Spirit-possessed. Because he's got his own will. And if he can't be possessed by an evil spirit because he's got his own will, he can't be possessed by the Holy Spirit because he's got his own will. You see, the logic is at fault. Number five, Christians do suffer demonic attacks. Therefore, they are demonically oppressed, but not demonically possessed. Now, this is an assumption with what's called extra-biblical terms, meaning terms outside the Bible. The Bible didn't say anything about being demonically oppressed, but not demonically possessed. That was a little theorem that we made up ourselves. Number six, therefore, all the cases of casting out demons in the Bible and today involve only the unbeliever. And this is an assumption contrary to the facts, which I have already brought in previous studies. Number seven, most all unbelievers are in possession of their own wills, therefore they are not demon-possessed. But this is an assumption without proof. This, therefore they are not demon-possessed, has no scripture. There is no scripture you can turn to and prove that therefore they are not. That's an assumption we have made. Number eight, therefore only a tiny amount of Americans and Europeans are demon-possessed. Even in heathen countries, they have a low percentage of demon possession, although more than in Christian nations. Now this is an assumption based on an assumption. And it's a widely held belief that very few Americans are really demon possessed, because you don't see them going around under a power not their own. They talk freely, they discuss things with you, they seem amiable, and therefore we assume that only demon possessed people are people who have totally gone berserk and insane and lost total ability to reason at all times, like the one with the legion of demons. And yet in all those other cases in the Bible where the man was in possession of his own will and they talked back and forth and they said things, they were called demon possessed. But we have not admitted that. The Christian world has not admitted that. They only take a man like the Gadarene, the one who was and yet even he ran and talked to them. But they have assumed that very few even sinners are demon-possessed. Now, the only thing wrong with this set of deductive theories is that it's not biblical and it's not in line with the facts that we see today. Those who say we can't prove believers had demons cast out of them in the New Testament accounts cannot prove that they were all unbelievers who had demons cast out. They imagine that they stick to the Bible, but we to experience. But this is not the case at all. Not the case at all. They must go contrary to Scripture and to experience. Now, there are two basic Greek words in the New Testament for possessed with demons. There's at least 57 verses in the New Testament that deal with casting out of demons. Now, there's two cases where the Greek word echo, there's actually more than that if you take its other forms, echo, meaning to have or to hold or to possess, is used. And there's 13 cases where daimonizomai, demonized, is used. And it's translated in the King James Bible as possessed with demons 11 times, vexed with demons once, and hath a demon once. But there's no difference in the Greek. Now, let's look at this word echo for a minute. This is used talking about a demon having a hold on a person. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament by Kittle says that in the papyri, this Greek word echo was used to meaning to own, to have, or to possess, or to have at one's disposal as under one's authority, or to be possessed by demons, Plotinus, 204 to 284 A.D. And going down through the Abbott Smith Greek lexicon, New Thayer's Greek lexicon, Baxter's Greek lexicon, and so forth, they're all saying the same thing and using the word possessed and to have and own and so forth for echo. Basically, it means to have or to hold or to possess something. And now, you can use the words possess or have interchangeably in most cases, like I have nothing to set before him, or I possess nothing to set before him. See, or I have not charity, or possess not charity. Now, let's look at two biblical examples of echo because we have only two in its verb form at least, no more than that outside the verb form. Acts 8:7. In Acts 8:7, we read when Philip went down to Samaria and he began to preach the gospel, unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many. We've had that experience, haven't we? Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Echo. They were possessed by them. And many were healed and so forth. Now, we read in Acts 16:16, see another case where echo is used. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. It's a spirit of divination. In the first case, it's unclear as to what the spirit was or how it affected the person, whether it was in body, soul, or spirit. Now we come to the word daimonizomai, demonized. It has the word daimoni in it, meaning demon. It's demonized. Abbot Smith, in his Greek lexicon, says demonizomai means to be under the power of a demon or to be possessed by a demon. So does Baxter, Moulton, and Milligan, Creamer, Josephus through the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Little and Scott, New Theos. New Theos adds, in addition to agreement to this. Persons afflicted, talking about daimonizomai now, persons afflicted with especially severe diseases. We're talking about demonized. The Greek word demon has the word demon in it, demonized. Persons afflicted with especially severe diseases, either bodily or mental, is demonized. People today wouldn't say you're demonized if you have cancer or have epilepsy. Oh, brother, he's a Christian. You can't say he has a demon. You can't say he's demonized. Theo says that this word, demonizomai, and it's used in the New Testament, of people with diseases. So we've got, what I'm trying to say is, to bring you this revelation, we have got to change your concept. Because whenever you find out you've been wrong, you can't hold a wrong concept and come into truth. You have to be willing to give it up if you can see it was wrong. Just because you've held it does not mean it was right. God has brought from the beginning an unfolding revelation, a continually new truth, and he's going to continue to bring new truth. He's promised to teach me and us new things, and we can't learn new things if we're going to camp with the old and assume we've always been right. The church has not always been right. We came out of the dark ages, and we've got to go on into truth. Whose bodies, in the opinion of the Jews, demons had entered, and so held possession of them. He's using the word possession, even though it's physical, as not only to afflict them with ills, but also to dethrone the reason and take its place themselves. Take its place within the body, you see. Accordingly, that's what happened to diseases, though. They've taken the place of something in the body, tissues and so forth. Accordingly, the possessed will want to express the mind and consciousness of the demons dwelling in them. See, they now are expressing that consciousness. And their cure was thought to require the expulsion of the demon. And, of course, the Jews were right in this. Commentaries that agree to this statement are Alford, John Gill, Pulpit, Lenski, Oshoshin, Calvin, Langs, Barnes, Gildenhuys, Sadler, Brodus, Robertson, Expositors, Bruce, Wiest, and so forth. None disagreed that I saw. Now let's look at a few scriptures where demonizomai is used. Starting with Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. I'll bring you with the revelation just a little bit later, but we're warming up to it. Matthew 8:28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. The Greek is demons. Whenever you see devils, plural, in the King James, you know that the Greek is demons And it's not the word devil at all. It's not diabolos. It's demoni. It's demons. Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Now, this man had a couple thousand, roughly, demons in him. Verse 32. And he said unto them, go, and when they will come out, he said unto them, go, and when they will come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place in the sea and perished in the waters. They went into a body of a swine. Perhaps into the soul. All animals have souls, but it's not spirits. They couldn't live without soulish life. Luke 8:35. When they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. Interesting. Do you know today a lot of people are afraid if they find Christians that are in the right mind, the demons are now out of them? As long as the demons are in them, they'll feel fine. But once they're out, they're all upset and afraid. We had a man in this assembly that for 50 years, he sought something to satisfy his soul and couldn't find it. He tried everything there was, all kinds of mystical religions, hypnotism, alcohol, it was a drink, and all kinds of things. And as soon as he got saved and filled the Holy Spirit and got rid of those things and had a peace and a joy in his heart and quit drinking and carousing, his mother didn't like him anymore. That is, the demons in her didn't like him anymore. Now, in other cases, using the same word, you notice this case that had the man's mind, he couldn't think, they had a complete control over him, was not in his right mind, he was certainly demon-possessed, and the King James calls him demon-possessed, and it's daimonizomai. Yet in other cases, in the New Testament, the same Greek word is used talking about the deaf, the dumb, physical ailments, and they are called possessed with demons when you see a physical ailment. Now today, very few Christians will accept the fact that you're demon possessed because you are blind. They would not even accept the fact they're demonized. It's a great exception, but the New Testament clearly says they were demonizomai, demonized when they were blind. I say we are going to have to change the meaning of terms to be in alignment with the Scripture and not hold a different interpretation of a word than the Scripture uses. And what's held us back is everybody else's opinion and tradition. And I've been coming out of tradition for a long time, but, you know, like Martin Luther and everybody else, nobody just bounces all the way out of it at once, you know, because these things hold you back. You think in a certain framework and you can't see it. As long as you're thinking in that framework until God opens up something, His Word opens up something, you see your framework is wrong and you have to move on to the next point and abandon your position or modify it. Now, if we change our ideas from oppressed, demon oppressed, which is not in the Bible, to possessed or demonized, after demons cause blindness and so forth, then we no longer can argue against demons or Christians having demons. Now the argument is gone, because you are now demon possessed. That is, they possess not your spirit, not every part of you, but a certain part. They possess your eyes, your ears, or something. They have a hold on you. They own that area. They have, possess, own, echo, or you are demonized. You're demonized in your eyes, or you're demonized in your ears, or you can be demonized in your spirit. There's all kinds of ways to be demonized. And we've got to understand the word in its broader aspect and its New Testament aspect. Also, we know we cannot say that only unbelievers are demon-possessed or have demons, or demonized, not according to New Testament usage. Now, there's another scripture of demon possession where echo or daimona zomai is not used in the Textus Receptus, although it is used in some alternate, in here also in some alternate manuscripts. That's Matthew 17:15. But regardless of whether echo is used or not, there's another Greek word used here I want to show you. Matthew 17:15. This is a case of that epileptic boy, you know, going through these fits. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and often into the water." Now, luna reminds you of the word lunar, doesn't it? But that's where it comes from. Lunatic means lunar struck or moonstruck. And a number of translations translate it moonstruck. The Greek is Seleni eds etai, from Selena, moon. It's a moon affected, moon struck. The Kingdom Interlinear text says moon struck. The Kingdom Interlinear translation on the margin says epileptic. The Greek is in the middle voice, which means for self interest, either for self interest or the interest of the one acting. In this case, it's for the interest of the one acting. The demon, for his interest, has made him a moon struck. Now, you see, this demon was hiding under the influence of an ignorance. He was hiding under the influence of, during the full moon, and this has been, in fact, epileptics have noticed in the cycles, in studying them, I've read this at least, that many of them, their seizures come under full moon times and so forth, and so they have called them moonstruck. They came to believe that it was under the influence of the moon that caused it for a long time before they learned more about it. And they still don't know what it's caused by unless you are a Bible-believing Christian and you understand there's a demon behind this epileptic spirit. Jesus recognized that such, and he didn't cast out the moon or some other disease, but the demon. And then the man was all right. Now, he went into these fits and into these seizures. And he was hiding under, you know, they've had that for gods. Moon has been gods, you know, and mythology for a long time. And he's hid under that particular outward symbol that they have used to represent one of the gods. It's like they have a sun god, there's a moon god, and so forth. That's what we talk about when we see you next Monday. That means Moon's Day, the day of the moon god. That's what it actually means. Just like Saturday is the god Saturn, Saturn's day, and Sunday is the sun's day. These are all, I tell you, these demon influences and words have come in everything in our society, every place. You can't even get away from them. In verse 18, we read, "And Jesus rebuked the devil." Now this time he didn't say he rebuked the demon even. He rebuked the one who was all the demons within him. He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now, I think what it means, that he, the devil, departed out, it means he, the devil, in the form that the devil was in there. That is, in the form of demons. Those, just like we say, you know, Hitler conquered Holland. Well, Hitler never was in there. Napoleon, we use terms like this, you know, Rockefeller built the United Nations building. Well, he did and his money did. The same thing is used throughout the scripture when it talks about God doing things, meaning through the influence of his people. And the same way with the devil, through the influence of his demons. Now, comparing the three Gospels, we see this. This man had a dumb spirit, Mark 9:17, except when he was attacked. When he became attacked by this demon, the demon made him cry out, Luke 9:39. You see, the demon was blocking his speech. There was nothing wrong with his speech facilities. He could speak. And the demon used it and spoke out of him, but the rest of the time he's blocking it and the man could not speak. And when demons of deafness, of dumbness are cast out, the person can speak. You see, demons are blocking a lot of things. Demons of deafness are cast out, they can heal. Just blocking them. And this man often fell into the water, into the fire. Why? To kill him. demon caused him to have seizures right next to water and fire and other places to trees trying to take his life. A spirit of death was in there. And the Bible also says that he became emaciated in his body and he pined away, meaning, I suppose, in great depression. It also said the spirit caused him to foam at the mouth, gnash his teeth, fall, bruise, and tail as the demon was trying to come out of him. This spirit had been on him as a child, the Bible says. He said, oh, can't enter as a child, you have to know what you have to do. This says he was on him as a child. And he was in him, because he cast him out of him. So he was in him as a child, you see. So you can have demons as a child. And it hid under the influence of ignorance, and superstition, and false religion, under the new moon. They thought he was moonstruck. They used the term moonstruck because that was the term they was using, although it was not the real cause. Now my guess is, because you see, he said Jesus cast out the demon, singular, in one of the Gospels. The other place it says the devil was in him and he came out. The other place it says the demon, showing you that it meant the devil in the form of these demons. Now it said he had a dumb spirit. But you know, a dumb spirit doesn't cause you to be dumb. It doesn't cause you to fall into a fire and have fits. So there must have been more than one demon. So in the scripture where it says he cast out the demon, singular, he must have meant the chief demon, the demon holding this whole thing together. My guess is that when he cast out the demon of epilepsy, then the dumb spirit came out, the pining spirit came out, the emaciating spirit came out, the spirit of death came out, and all the rest of those came out as well. Because they were in there. At least we have certainty that the dumb spirit was in there because the Bible says so. And the dumb spirit couldn't cause this epileptic fit. You see, there's some things, if you try to travel as a legalist by the ink, you're going to get into some very strange things. You're going to have to get into the fact that, well, if the Bible doesn't say that, what the Bible says, okay, if we're going to go that way, then dumb spirits cause epileptic seizures. See? And, you're getting to some impossible things if you don't understand how God writes this book, and he gives sometimes the essence or the nature or there's other things contained in it, and you have to look elsewhere to see how to put it together. Now, demon possession is the state of having demons possessing or holding or having, with echo means any of these, a certain part of a person, an area of the body, an area of the soul, or an area of the spirit. Not just the spirit, as previously widely supposed, but the New Testament shows that it can be demonized in the body, soul, or spirit. More about this later. Now, the Greek is demonized 13 times, held or had or possessed 2 times, and there's nothing in the Greek about possessing one's spirit versus oppressing one's mind. And it's not reasonable to conclude that Palestine was full of demonized, demon-possessed people, but the United States and Europe today are not. There's no reason to suppose that. They did not have all the pornography, all the drugs, all the filth that we have today. They were people of the covenant. They were living in a very strict legalistic government. The government, the ruling civil religious government, was highly legalistic and religious. And there's no reason to conclude that. The Bible shows a picture of them, you know, the demons, demonized everywhere. They were loading in the demonized and he was getting rid of them. Now then they say, oh, but America, you say, well, why aren't you casting out demons? Well, we don't see any. I mean, you know, only occasionally you went into one. See? It doesn't make sense. There's something wrong with that theory. And it's also not reasonable that Jesus healed believers but cast demons out of unbelievers. See? That's not reasonable. Everywhere he went, there were people following him, listening to him, and became believers, and he healed them and cast the demons out. He wasn't leaving the crowds following him and going into the field where the man had his back turned on him and going into the house where the man wouldn't come out and see him and then casting demons out of a demonized. Because you see, they have a right to be there. They have a right to be there. The whole covenant is those who are in the covenant and are believers. They are the ones who receive the children's bread, the healing. In fact, there's a scripture in the New Testament that tells when a person was healed, the demon was demon was cast out and the person was healed of the disease. Now, every place but two, the Greek is simply demonized without stating whether it's in the body, the soul, or the spirit. Although the context, if you examine them in the scripture, show all three. They were demonized in the body, blind, the dumb, the deaf, so forth. Demonized in the mind, or in the soul, which uses the mind, and become insane, can't think. Demonized in the spirit, like the soothsayer, spiritual, in the, using demon spirits and spirit guides and so forth. And in other cases, another case in the scripture is in Acts 8:7. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Now, possessed here in this scripture is not daimonizomai, demonized, but rather ekanton, meaning having, coming from the word echo. The Greek is having unclean spirits crying with a great voice were coming out of many. You notice the words were coming out? What does it mean, were coming out? You see, there are a lot of people coming out at different times and coming out of the same individual. They're coming out, not just one thing, but they were in the process of coming out. There was one after another coming out. In the New Testament, there's no difference in the experience of a person with a demon, whether he was demonizomai or whether echo is used. You see, if the demon has, holds, or possesses a person, echo, naturally he is demonized. Demonizomai. Although the terms are foreign to the previously held concepts, anyone influenced repeatedly by a demon is demonized to a greater or lesser extent. And the demon has, holds, owns, or possesses him in that area. If you continually giving in to him, continually, until there's a tremendous pressure, you just do it like it all the time, you are demonized in that area. Now, a little more on this later. Acts 16:16, we see a case, I think we've already read that, I believe, a case of a spirit of, maybe we didn't, let's look at it. I think we did. 16:16, yes, the person possessed with the spirit of divination met us, but his master must gain by soothsaying. Now, here's the spirit of divination. This spirit is lodging in his spirit and working through his spirit. See, not through the body. It's not blindness. It's a spiritual thing from a false spirit. Now, I'll skip part of my lecture here in the interest of time. Recently, God revealed to me that demons do not just lodge in bodies and affect the body or the mind, therefore the soul. But they lodge in the body, they lodge in the soul, and they lodge in the spirit, depending on the case. Now this suddenly burst in my mind as a light so clearly, it's so easy to see. But you see, the problem was, the Christians were saying, demons cannot be in a Christian. And yet, I found that William Branham laid hands on a person with cancer. He saw the demon on him. He laid hands on him, and the demon left him, and he was healed of cancer. And we've seen people see them leaving the minds of people. We've seen them in people leaving. People have felt them leave. That we have heard them and have felt them leave the body and have seen their influence in the body. And so that's untenable. So I moved up a realm and said, I accept the fact that they are in the body. I came to this about 16 years ago. About 8 years ago, And I, over my mind for long years, I was mulling over these things and wasn't really sure I should be bringing them yet. And about 8 years ago, or 6 years ago, whatever it was, about 6 years ago, I brought it to ministers in training, and a number of other things I brought there. My notes, I skipped that here, but my notes show that I was explaining things like, don't let the demons determine your theology, they can lie. As an example, I'm out now, and we should not have symbols of the devil. There's a spirit in the back of these objects. I named professional playing cards, good luck charms, inquiring devices, and so forth. I just didn't realize the extent of it. I said some sicknesses require dealing with demons, but I had too limited a view. I mentioned that good Christians are having demons speak out through them. I said, not quite right, I said not demon-possessed in spirit, but demonized, and so forth and so on. I also said, even regarding demon possession, that that was my current opinion, and I was willing to change in the future if I found it to be true. I said some other things I haven't taken time here. That a lot of people didn't realize that I believed back there and said, because we weren't doing a lot with it, and they didn't remember it. But now recently, God revealed this to me, and it's not true that demons cannot touch our spirits because God is there. That's not true. That was an assumption that the demons love to have us make. But our bodies, you see, our bodies are said to be temples of the Holy Ghost, right? So demons cannot enter the body, right? Yet demons are lodged in the body in sickness. And the Bible says so. And demons are tempted, I mean Christians are tempted in their spirit. They're tempted in the spirit, as well as tempted in their souls. And false religious spirits work to deceive our spirits. And we need to be strong in spirit as well as strong in mind or in soul. Now let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:34. Let's look at this area about, can a demon possess, own, have, hold, lodge in, work in, the believer's spirit, where the Holy Spirit also dwells, as well as in the soul and the body. 1 Corinthians 7:34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Now, this is a general maxim he's given. This is not something that always is the case. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, he thinks this is a tendency, is what he's saying. Now, that she may be holy in both body and spirit, meaning that if she is not caring for the things of the Lord, even though she be a Christian, she can become unholy or defiled, not only in her but in her spirit, as well as in her body or her soul, in her spirit. She can become unholy in her spirit. The spirit is, but they have the Holy Spirit. You still can become unholy in your spirit. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'll prove this as I go along here and become very evident. Scriptural proof. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, this Bible is written to dearly beloved, it's written to Christians, not to the atheists and the others, they don't read this Bible. This is a covenant, this is a new covenant. It's for believers who are in the covenant. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, which means there's filthiness, dirtiness there. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, meaning the lower man, now take a scrub brush under your skin, and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Not only does do we need to perfect ourselves in the areas of our flesh, our human nature, but also our spirit. And we need to cleanse ourselves of the filthiness of the spirit. So how can you have filthiness of the Spirit if the Holy Ghost is there? But it teaches you do. Christians can have filthiness in their spirit, need to be cleansed of it, even though the Holy Spirit is there. Our spirits get defiled. We need cleansing. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. See, just because God is there doesn't mean you don't have a problem. Doesn't mean the demon might not also be there, or sickness or sin or anything else. It's totally unwarranted assumption. It was easy to accept, but without evidence of other things, but it was just wrong. Now let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, thank you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he wants to sanctify you wholly. With W-H-O-L-L-Y means all of you. To sanctify you, all of you, means that all of us is not sanctified. And he enumerates, or he lists the areas, spirit, soul, and body. And to be presumed blameless. You need to have your life and the outer man blameless, how you look and dress and what you do, the soulful man, your thoughts, and your heart and your seat of affections and your decisions and your will, but also your spirit. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Who's he talking to? Believers. Beloved. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now these come to our spirits and our mind to pretend to be God. That's why we need to try the spirits. Because the spirits come to believers to pretending to be the Lord rather than who they really are. To try them to see if they be God, not to see if they be good, but to see if they be God. And they give spiritual experiences sometimes. They give visions. They give prophecies. They give revelations. You know, demons prophesy through people. It is my belief that this woman who gave this message and left the other day had a spirit giving a message to her. As fact, as I went toward her, several people knew of this person, came to me, and I told them ahead of time. I had the word of knowledge came to me as soon as I started to walk toward her, and I knew all about her. Not everything, of course, but I'm in this one area. And I told those several here before they told me, and they said, well, that fits right down the line. I said, I can tell you about this woman. She's a Pentecostal. She loves the Lord. She is really sold out for God, moving with God. But she's got some deep demon problems. And she has been giving, these spirits have come to her and areas and tricked her, deceiving her, making them think that they are the Lord. And they've been moving out to her in these false prophecies, and she's been giving them for years. But the churches she gives them in, they either are so low in discernment they don't know it, or they lack boldness and they wouldn't do anything about it. And that's why it was a great... See, she was not rebellious. When I went to her, she was totally shocked. She said, well, why did you stop the message from the Lord? And I said, because, sister, I called her sister because she was, it wasn't from the Lord. Oh, I have to go. I have to go right now. I have to go. And I said, sister, even, she said, oh, your spirit isn't right. I have to go. Meaning that spirit contradicted that spirit was in. And she loved the service. She loved the preaching. And all of a sudden, my spirit wasn't right. And I said, sister, if I am mistaken, which I know I'm not, my spirit is still right. You don't have to leave. The Lord is here. But, oh, I have to go. I have to go now. Now, see, if she would have been allowed to give that message fully, and was totally out of tenor with what was bought. If she'd been allowed to give it, she would have thought I had a good spirit. Everything would have been fine. But now because she wasn't allowed to give it, everything was bad, and she had to leave. In other words, the leaving was predicated not upon the spirit of the Lord she felt or didn't feel or what she saw or experienced, but only whether she could give a message or not. And as she left, several people heard her say, "Must go, must go, must go." See, now, normally, see, a person, in fact, the reason she insisted, you notice how she, several times she kept, I tried to quiet her down, she kept on. She wasn't a rebellious person. She wasn't a real loud, boisterous, you know, you didn't see the flesh all over her. I never did see the flesh on her. She was in the flesh. She was in the spirit, just the wrong spirit. That spirit was deceived her, and she wasn't fighting anything. But that thing was there and had deceived her. And many, I can tell you many cases, you know, like we had a man in the other, if he just called me about 2-3 days ago, every so often he called, this man who was in the other assembly we had, a man named Michael. He thought he was Michael the Archangel. He dressed totally in white, white shoes, white this, white hat. And he came to me and says, "The Lord showed me that David cannot be healed until Russ Barnett wears a beard." And I said, "No, brother, the God didn't show you that." I said, "That is not the principle. It breaks the principles." "Oh, yes, he showed me." I said, "You have to try the spirits." And I tried to get through to him, but I could not. And I could give you many other examples. They love the Lord. I keep getting calls every so often. This person's put out. She's totally demonized. And ruined her family, divorced, everything's messed up. And the spirit leads her to go down to talk to, you know, at the Moonies. And she sent a Thompson Chain Bible in English to the Pope because the spirit led her to put upon her. And just all kinds of wild things. And yet she loves Jesus, and she's always worried about whether I love Jesus. And she calls me up. She's never, you know, real this way. But this demon has tricked her, and she won't believe it, and she can't get rid of it. And she's a Christian. I can give you many examples. We've had some wonderful people right here get demonized in this way and get tricked by the devil and say some really stupid things. And yet when they came out of it, they could see it that fast. And yet that thing was right there in them. Now, these spirits come to our minds to pretend to be God. You should try them to see whether they be of God or not. And they give visions. Just like some dissidents went out and they had a vision of me. But the vision was not given by God. And therefore they became alarmed because they really did, I believe, get a vision. We had a Christian in this assembly that loves me. But one time when I corrected her husband and the hood from her husband passed on to her, and without meaning to, she looked up and saw me with Adolf Hitler hairstyle and mustache. She was looking and she was shocked. Though Adolf Hitler was standing in the pulpit, she was seeing this, but see, the demon had brought that to her mind. So she could see something that wasn't there, nobody else saw, because he was trying to divide him from the body. They don't just come on unbelievers, my friend. They come into believers to trick them if they can. Just like this woman who left because the Lord told her all these kind of paintings you were going to buy of Jesus that she painted and other kinds of scenes, and she's going to become rich and famous and all the rest. Could not get through because that going by the feeling and the power, and she knew this thing was telling her that. Wasn't just imagination. You can talk about imagination. That's wrong. But when this force comes, unless we, some people in here will only say because they had confidence in me. Yeah. They know how they felt. They know it came to them. They thought it was God. They felt sure it was God. When I said, "No, sister," they said, "Well, Pastor, I have confidence in you. And everything says, this came to me. It seemed like Jesus. It said it was him. But if you say it was a demon, I know you know more about these things. I know you wouldn't mislead. I thought I'm going to trust you in this." That was the only thing that saved them, was to recognize, I have taught this body before. I said, "Listen, if you have a certain thing that God tells you, and everybody else who's spiritual says, no, sister, you better listen to the rest of them." And I said, "Well, all right, no, bless God." That pride can ruin you. Now, verse 3. "And every spirit that confesses not Jesus," just taking away the Greek says it now, "not Jesus, is not of God." Actually, I guess there's a manuscript difference here, and it could read either direction. "But is not of God, It doesn't make any difference for my point, so I'll read it all the way through. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Or the other one is, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, here is the spirit confessing. Every spirit that confesses not is not confessing. Now, let's look at... where am I at? Let me look over here. My reference says... My reference says 11:8, and I'm not sure what it refers to now. Oh, I crossed something else out here, which is probably... I crossed something out. It was a key here. I can't read it now. I crossed it out so well. But it's talking about the spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber. It's a reference to 11:8, wherever that is. And about God giving them a spirit of slumber. A spirit of slumber. Notice the word spirit. Now, elsewhere, where God is said to give a spirit of evil, a demon comes to them. In other words, God allows it. For example, the lying spirit that was put in the mouth of the prophet to Ahab was Satan, the Bible said. And yet the scripture says, another place, that God put a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet. But in the explanation of that, God said, who shall become a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet and go up and persuade Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And Satan came along and said, I will go and be that spirit in his mouth. I will go. And the Lord said, go. And yet it was said as though the Lord put it there. See, what that shows you is the demons can't do anything unless God lets them. And because he allows it, in effect, he has put it there. Not that he actually put it there. Romans 11:8, thank you. And so he has given us a spirit of, he gives these certain people a spirit of slumber. Because they're already believing a lie, and this will cause them to have less judgment because they will be sinning ignorantly instead of sinning and being unwilling knowingly. And yet, so this probably means that he allows a spirit of sleepiness, a spirit of, so they can't just, you know, just kind of spiritually slumber come into them. It's not a physical slumber, it's a spiritual slumber. Like when the virgins begin to slumber, it's a spiritual slumber. And it's a spirit. Not just slumbering, it's a spirit of slumbering. It's not just lethargy, it's a spirit of slumbering. And it comes into their spirits. Now, notice 1 Timothy 4:1. First Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit, meaning Spirit of God, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall, what? Depart from the faith. Meaning, what? They once held the faith. How did they depart from the faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Two things. One, their mind is receiving a doctrine. Two, their spirit is receiving a spirit. It's a spirit of seduction that comes to the spirit. It's a spiritual seduction. It's a religious seduction. Dealing with worship and so forth. Which means that while in the faith, seducing spirits seduce those spirits away from God's spirit. So while in the faith, seducing spirits came into their spirit and seduced them. Now Christians are vulnerable to deceptive spirits, engaging, tempting, deceiving, seducing their spirits. Either claiming to be God, or tempting them to let them in to help them, whether they know or don't know that they are demons, or seducing them into a new dangerous and false worship practice. They're vulnerable in our spirit, and we need to cleanse ourselves from any filthiness, anything in the spirit that is contrary to God is unclean. That which is allowed was called clean, and that which was not allowed was called unclean. Whether it was eating, whether it was vessels brought into the sanctuary, whether it was clothing, ceremonial acts, or people, even like the Gentiles and so forth. Only the clean could come in. That which was opposite of God was called unclean. It doesn't just mean physical dirt, or neither does it just mean sexual sins or things like that.